the more I grow in my relationship with Our Lady. It strikes me how amazing it is that the Church sets Mary as what we would call the quintessential disciple. What does that mean? A quintessential is something that speaks of the very essence of what something is. And Mary speaks to the very essence of what it means to be a disciple. Sometimes we can think that, well, holiness, that's for the priests and the saints and the bishops and maybe Father Jonathan, but, you know, he's a work in progress. We'll see about that. But it's not for me. Nothing could be further from the truth. Mary shows us that holiness, that is knowing the reason we're here, the purpose and the direction and the fulfillment of our lives, is for everyone. And what I want to focus on today is this one verse. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Of all creatures, human beings are unique. We are the only being that is an embodied soul, meaning the soul which is invisible is manifested through these physical bodies. I am, you are, a human being. When we die, we will be a corpse. Why? Because our soul will no longer animate these bodies. The body will be dead, and the soul will begin its journey into the fullness of eternity, one day to be joined to a resurrected body. But while we live in this world, our soul magnifies the Lord through our body. How did Mary live this out? Well, we know that it was because she was full of grace. She was full of understanding that her life was a profound gift given to her by God, and that through her, God wanted to bring the gift of His love into the world. Now, we are not full of grace in the way that Our Lady is, because she's Our Lady. She's unique. But we have something Mary didn't have. We have the sacraments of the Church. And the sacraments of the Church, particularly confession and Eucharist, are the means by which we're given soul food. Our souls are enriched. Our souls are nourished through these sacraments, so that we too can magnify the Lord in these bodies that we have been given. So knowing that the soul is what animates our body, that then affects how we live. A couple of things to show that illustrate this. We're told by St. Luke that when she, Mary, heard that Elizabeth was pregnant, that she went with haste. Went with haste. Now, with that in mind, listen to these words from St. Paul from today. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. In other words, what St. Paul is saying, allow your bodies to be used in such a way that you are living purposefully. And that's what it means to say that Mary went with haste. She went with purpose. She got up knowing the reason why this day mattered and what she was going to do. And remember this point, she didn't just go next door to Elizabeth with a cup of coffee. No, to go with haste meant that Mary had to travel 110 kilometers, and she couldn't call an Uber. She walked, maybe had a donkey. There's no reference to Joseph being with her at this time, although perhaps he was. But she realized there was a journey before her that would be demanding, but she didn't lack in zeal. She lived with purpose. And then as she arrives at Elizabeth's home, what we see is this interchange of love and generosity. Mary willing to lovingly serve her older cousin. Again, listen to St. Paul. Serve the Lord. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. And I'm sure Elizabeth, as we see, as she greets Mary, extends hospitality to her. But there's this genuine care and love that they show one to another. They express a true sense of dignity and honor. So she went with zeal. Her life is purpose. She sees the dignity in the other and treats them with that honor. And then, as we're told, they understand that their life is part of a much greater purpose. If you'd been at Ein Kerem, which, by the way, is the name of the town where Elizabeth lived, what you would have just seen were two women exchanging their love, their support, one with another. But they understood that their lives were part of a much larger purpose that in some ways was hidden to the world, but known to them. And aren't these beautiful words? And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. God works in such a way to fulfill his purposes. And you, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, are called to be part of this same journey, as am I. One of the key phrases used at Vatican II was this phrase, the universal call to holiness. The universal call to holiness, that all of us are called to a holy life, not in the extraordinary events that we experience, which happen very infrequently, but in the ordinary events that we experience. And so may we this day follow the example. Oh, and remember that Mary was a teenager when this happened. At most, she was probably 16, 17 years of age, which again is remarkable. And it's to be an encouragement for you and me, that we too can follow the example of Mary and saying, Lord, I've got a soul that's eternal, but I want my soul to be so filled with grace that the way I'm living in my body shows that I'm a person of zeal. I'm living with purpose, with meaning and direction. Shows that I'm a person of charity. I want to honor the dignity of that other person with whom I am in conversation. And that my life is part of a much greater story. That one day, in the fullness of heaven, we will see and realize the part each one of us had to play. So on this last day of May, as creation today sings of God's glory, may we do the same and say with Our Lady, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.